with us on a journey into the unknown, the unexplained, and the unbelievable. We will test your senses and challenge your beliefs. A world where science and religion clash. Or do they? You will meet real people and hear real stories, but you will not believe. You will witness strange sights and hear strange sounds, but you will not believe. This is the New England Ghost Project. Welcome to the nightmare.
Happy first day of spring to everyone, and welcome to Ghost Chronicles International. I am Ron Kolick, your host, and you are not. Joining me today across the pond is the gold standard and ghost hunter, the god of infrasound, and whatever else he wants to be called by, Mr. Steve Parsons.
Hello. It's not the first day of spring here.
Why not?
Because spring starts on the 1st of March.
Ooh, that's weird. How come it starts there?
We're just, you know, just how it is.
Oh, there's all different kinds of spring.
Seasonal, vernal spring, is it, starts today?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we have astronaut or whatever.
Our meteorological spring started on the 1st of March.
Yeah. Yeah, I always did too.
Yeah.
Yes, I always did too. Yeah.
But yeah, it is. It's the vernal equinox or something today.
Yeah.
Where, you've got an eclipse coming up, haven't you?
Yeah, that's when all the half naked people go out there and, you know, worship the sun or something. I don't know. Whatever they do.
They're pretty cool. We've had two in the last 10 years. Definitely worth seeing.
Ah.
What do you mean, that?
Ah.
No, seriously. They are...
I've seen them all. I've seen one, like, sometime in my life.
We haven't seen them all, then, have you? No, what I find interesting about them is the way that the things, so because I'll take the last one, which was 9 years ago yesterday, I think, for us. And I was reading through some of the Facebook posts, you know, in the memories section, reminding myself about it. And it was things like how, you know, 1 minute it's bright sunshine, blue skies, and then all the birds flew back to roost. And then they all went really, really quiet. And then, like, it got darker and darker. And then condensation started to appear on all of the, you know, like, leaves and things.
Oh, really?
Because it's like a normal dusk, but really accelerated. It didn't half screw the birds up. They were completely messed up by it.
Well, I don't know if they were messed up by it. They just did what
they all went to bed.
Yeah, that's what they do. What they do? Hey, siesta. They've probably been waiting for 9 years. You know.
The thing is, though, the last eclipse we had was about 10 o'clock in the morning, so it was really early. So they're like, they probably only just woken up, and it's like that was a short day.
Go back to bed. My wife would have been thrilled, you know.
What's this? I was reading about. Because it's crossing the whole of the US, isn't it? And some states have said, get 2 weeks of food and water in and prepare for electricity.
Oh, I don't know. Whatever.
Chicken, real chicken little stuff.
No, I don't know about that.
I think
I don't know where you're reading that. Yeah, I don't know where you're reading that, yeah.
Well, in the news.
Yeah, well, no. We don't even have it on the news. No one's even mentioned it. And here
you've still got 3 weeks to go, haven't you? April the 8th.
Yeah, but no one.
I can't believe someone who is science orientated like you, with an environment degree, isn't in the slightest bit excited by this fantastic natural event.
No, it's part of nature. You understand things.
Yeah,
they're not as exciting as if you don't understand.
I just said this exciting natural event, or did you miss that word out?
You said exciting, but it's not exciting to me because it's not.
Can we get production to rewind the tape and say exciting natural event?
You said that, John, three times, and I'm once again I will reply to it saying it's not exciting to me.
Yeah, but I find that to be like that's bizarre because you know the transit.
No, I explained
Venus,
it to you.
An eclipse. These are interesting natural events.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't get in the slightest bit.
No, because we understand them. It's not a freaking niche. It's a part of the thing. It's like, it's great.
All right. Well,
you see thunder and lightning. You see thunder and lightning. You get excited about it. Whoa, it's thunder and lightning. Oh, my God. You know, it's like, no, it's thunder and lightning.
Oh, so hang on a minute. Whoa. Right. So you didn't get excited about Man on the Moon.
That's different. We've never done
it before. No, it's not. It's all entirely explainable.
Oh, hell no. It's all...
All hell, yeah. It's all gravity.
It's not something that occurs on a regular basis. It's not like, oh, my God, we went to the moon again.
It used to be.
It was cool then. And then every time it was cool because it's never done. But it wears off, quite frankly.
Well, it did, didn't it? That's why they never got past 17.
Yeah, it wears off. No, it's because there were aliens on the base, and they told us if we came back, they would attack Earth.
Do you reckon are they the same aliens that go over and knock over the lunar landers now?
Yeah. They just couch.
If you send another of those space probes, we'll topple it over.
Those damn alien kids. Anyway.
Anyway, how's your back?
Yeah, whatever. But, you know, you talk...
Well, you were whining about it on social media earlier.
Sorry.
My bad's back.
Yes, despite my back, I had a good time. So I was not whining about it. I was stating...
Well, you were whining about it before we came.
You were in a mood today. What the hell? Is the wrong time of the month for you? Wrong time?
Yeah, it's getting close to full moon.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, full moon might be a problem. But tell me, you want to know what I'm excited about?
Someone called Jessica in Illinois.
I'm always excited about her. But what's a really natural event is that the cicadas are going to be out this year. The 15-year and the 7-year cycle cicadas at the first at the same time. So this is freaking amazing. That's something we really don't see that often. And that is worth to be exciting about.
Did you say 15 and 7?
I believe it is. I forget what the...
Because I remember one year I came over, there was a cicada bloom or whatever they do, where they all climb up things.
Not here in New England. We don't get them in New England. Sorry. Nice try.
Well, what were those black things crawling all over the floor?
Black cockroaches, probably.
No, they weren't cockroaches.
They're probably cockroaches.
Crickets.
Oh, yeah, crickets. Yeah, crickets.
Hundreds of them.
Yeah.
They're not cicadas.
No. Cicadas, when they come out, you know, because they make a loud noise. And so you got two of them, massive things coming out at the same time, and there will be all kinds of noise. It'll be deafening. Mostly it's in the South and the Midwest. What's that?
Say, it won't bother you. You're in New England.
Right, we won't hear it, but that's what I mean. That's exciting because
why are you getting excited about it? Because
we don't have them in New England. Plus, this is a very rare event, so that
is cool. I don't know. Maybe the governor of Texas will fly some up on a plane for you.
Yeah, they won't last. But I mean, these bugs are probably two to three inches wide.
Wow.
I mean, they're big ass bugs, and they got big wings. Oh yeah. You would love them, Steve.
Oh, if I lived out there, I'd be out buying a tennis racket.
So they are brutal. Yeah, they're cool. They're they're creepy, but they really don't harm anything. They just come out and mate. That's it. And they go back to sleep for another 17 years or whatever the particular cycles are offhand.
Do they have them in Illinois?
They probably do. That's what probably got Jessica.
Now we've solved the mystery. Anyway, we're going to do any paranormal stuff. Cicada broods happen every 13 to 17 years and are... Thanks, Roy.
You brought up a good point. And the good point is that we get excited about things, and I think that's what occurs in the paranormal. We get excited about certain things in paranormal investigating, and we're really excited. But, you know, and I have to throw myself in here, I'm sorry, but there are certain things that we don't get excited about because we understand them. And I think that's part of the problem in paranormal investigating, is that people don't understand them and they get excited about them or frightened by them. For instance, sleep paralysis, which you and I have both experienced and scared out of a lot of people. But neither one of us, I would say, had the Jesus for zero. We may have that feeling, but as soon as we understood what was going on, we were okay. Would you agree with that,
I agree with the tenet of what you're saying, that some people do and we don't. Mm-hmm. But then I would argue and say, actually, I do, because when I had an episode of really weird lucid dreaming, when I knew I was dreaming, in my dream I knew I was dreaming, that was, I thought in my dream that it was amazing because I knew I was dreaming, and I tried to absorb as much of the experience as possible, if that sounds weird.
No, it's actually
because, it was like the time when I was confronted with the footsteps in the school corridor, that were very anomalous, very unusual. Mm-hmm. I knew I was the only person in the building. I realized that if...
But you verified that, though, I bet you.
Well, afterwards, but I remember at the time being incredibly excited by the fact that potentially, because it crossed my mind, because the way for the listeners, the scenario was, we were looking at, we had been spending a few months looking into experiences of people who worked in this former school that had now been converted for small business enterprises. And we realized after a number of visits that unusual sounds were being heard by our team. But in the sort of first few minutes after we arrived, and then it would stay silent all night. So what we did was we took to kind of ambushing the phenomena by one person would unlock the door, rush in, set up a recorder and get back outside again. And then we would continue doing what we were doing, which was unloading the vehicles and et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Knowing that we had had a single recorder there inside ready. And on this occasion, I opened the door, I placed the recorder, I spoke the time, and there were what I thought at the time were very heavy footsteps in the corridor I was in. So I knew I was the only person in the building. And these footsteps, which they were real slam dunk, stamp, 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 stamp down the corridor towards me. Mm-hmm. Or at least that's how I perceived it. And I was standing, because I just literally spoke the time to the recorder, I was still obviously in the building and did what I trained my team to do, which is don't do anything at all, basically stand motionless and observe. But I also realized that I was blocking the doorway, and this thing, this whatever it was, if it wasn't anything at all, was coming straight towards me. And if it continued the way I thought it was continuing, you see, there was nothing to be seen. So this is all my imagination, except for the sounds, which were real.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, if there is anything there, and it sounds fairly, you know, menacing, I'm blocking its way.
That's cool.
So it's either going to have to go through me, round me, or deal with me.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a really exciting moment.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, because it was something you weren't sure about. You had no explanation at that time.
There was no fear.
And still don't.
There was absolutely no fear. It was a moment of real, like standing at the, well, now I'm going to find out.
Mm-hmm.
It was an anticlimax. It was an anticlimax because, well, actually what happened was, for the listeners, the footsteps continued until I thought, now this is all perceived,
right?
Until I perceived that they were, I mean, the sounds were absolutely real, until they seemed to be 2 or 3 feet from me. And I thought, here we go. It's going to, and nothing. But between adjacent to me in the doorway were some ornamental foliage. They were just alongside me in the block in the doorway, or they mm-hmm. were next to the doorway, and all of the leaves rustled.
Now, did you hear them or see them? That's the question.
I saw the leaves and heard the leaves, and the record didn't pick up the leaf rustle.
Interesting.
But it picks up me saying the time. It picks up the sounds, and there's a recording on it on the Parascience website somewhere. People want to go and hunt it down. I think it's under Former School. But the recording is actually incomplete because when we put it up, which must be now, we uploaded it, must be nearly 20 years ago now.
Wow.
For my own vanity and ego, I knocked 5 seconds off the end of the tape.
Right.
I cut the tape off because there's about a 2 or 3 second pause, and then you hear me say, wow.
Well, that's no... No,
and I was just a bit embarrassed, so we took that bit off.
Why would you wait? No, Steve, why would you be embarrassed on that? That was, you know, something that that was certainly a wow moment. And my book,
The Folly of Youth.
I don't know. I think it was a wow moment. I mean, I see no problem with it.
I mean, I wouldn't now. I'd happily put it up now. But back then, 23, 24 years ago now.
Isn't that amazing? Time does fly.
Yeah, that was done with a mini disc recorder.
Oh, geez, Louise.
Yeah, that was done with a mini disc recorder. And I've still got it somewhere, the original disc, because we file all of the, you know, we kept and filed all of the original we've got hi-8 tapes and all sorts of stuff, you know, in the archive.
Yeah.
Because we still operate the same policy, which is if you take an image or make a recording that is, when reviewed, is deemed to be of interest, we remove the media from the device. So it might be a cassette tape, it might be a mini disc, it might be a tape. Nowadays it'd be an SD card.
Mm-hmm.
And then we file that. So we've always got the original, and then we duplicate.
So would you convert your video tape, for instance, to a disc?
Yeah, what we do now is what we did then, which is you take the original recording. In that case, it was a mini disc. We make mm-hmm. one single copy
mm-hmm.
Using clone software. It's not the same as making a straight recording. This actually clones the software. So in the case of digital audio, it's a direct clone. And then
that different than disc copy?
It's different in that any errors, there's no error checking. And then it's verified by, you know, it looks at every bit and byte on the original and then replicates it. It's effectively disc copy, but very slightly more forensic. It's just a different type of software for doing it.
So here I'm talking about, you have a 25-year-old tape. I mean, what I'm thinking about,
what we do is that with that original mini disc or the original Hi8 recordings or whatever, they're kept in what we try to keep as the best environment for them. So away from magnets, away from high humidity.
Where do you keep them?
We have a box where they all live.
Your house?
Yeah.
Your house is big enough to store 25 years worth of crap? I mean, excuse me, evidence?
Well, that shows you how much evidence we've gathered.
Evidently.
No, I'm serious.
That's interesting.
One filing cabinet's worth, I think, about that much.
Interesting.
So there's probably, what, 200 or 300 separate recordings? Because it isn't very often that we encounter something that is a head scratcher. And of course, if something can be explained, then we've no need to keep the original. We just work with the clones then.
See, I keep that all the stuff because if I want to go back and
we have multiple
check
backups.
Something. Well, so I want to check something. I can't. Like for when Maureen and I were writing our books and we wanted to be as accurate as possible, we went back and listened to all the tapes and saw the video so that we knew exactly what happened. And there were times, because time passes by, that we thought things happened a certain way and we were able to see that. So to me, that's why we keep them. But I mean, I totally understand yours too.
No,
so.
I mean, we. What I was talking about is the cabinet has got the original media in it. That's a filing cabinet. So that holds the stuff that we have never been able to explain or understand properly.
The X-Files.
Kind of the X-Files, if you want to give it that label. X-Files.
I like that. I think it's cool.
What we also have are 4 or 5 hard drives, portable hard drives. Mm-hmm. Each of them is between 1 and 3 terabytes. And they hold the rest of the archive.
Yeah, okay.
So those are what
you've converted to digital then?
Yeah, they've all been digitized and archived. And what we do is every 2 or 3 years, we recopy them to make sure that, because if you, and we do this, this started off with the discovery that, because a lot of the recordings in the early days were archived onto CD. And CD, we were told when it first came out, it lasts forever, and you can
except
it doesn't. Yeah, it lasts for exactly. Mm-hmm. So what we do now is we check everything every few years, and the other thing we do is check the formats, because we found that some of the original recordings and some of the original written reports and photo, where we'd made copies of people's written reports, or the format of the file is now no longer can be read by a modern computer.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So what we do every few years is move them into a format,
update them. Yeah.
So
in reality, you're not even hurting anything because, the written reports are what they are, written reports. So it doesn't really matter if you need the original because you have basically a photocopy of the original.
Yeah, I'm talking about the witness, the witness report.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
I mean, you cannot keep that amount of paperwork.
Oh, no.
No archive, that has to be digitized. And then after when a case is completed for the safety and security of the client, we destroy the paperwork.
Yeah, makes sense. Absolutely.
We shred it, and then. So, but that's just say a safety world. But we live in an era now, particularly in the UK, where we have what's called the General Data Protection Regulations, GDPR. And how you store people's personal information is regulated and governed by law.
Oh, really?
And so if I have somebody's name and address on file, then they have the right to access that information. And there are certain requirements by law on me on how I have to handle that information. So I can't just rip it up and throw it in the trash. Mm-hmm. I can't, you know, because we, you know, it's just the law of the land. So
yeah,
that's what we do. We abide by it because we're good law-abiding citizens.
Good UK citizens. Excellent. So, what happened here?
You got 2 minutes left before the ad break.
Okay, thanks. Thanks for the reminder, because I heard something, but I wasn't sure what it was. So, anyways.
It was a cicada.
That's what I was thinking, you know. Yeah, one of them maybe escaped. Maybe they were sent up by the,
Well, they must send up an advance guard, mustn't they, to take a look around and make sure it's safe.
Nah, it's no good up there. They don't want to live up here.
Hey, Jiminy, go and have a look upstairs.
It's too cold. It's too cold up here.
We got Easter next week, and they're forecasting snow for us.
Seriously?
Yep. Mind you, Easter is quite early this year.
We're all done with it, anyways.
1 minute.
All right, we got to take a break. So, anyways, yeah, I can see the chat from here, so not a problem. All right, so we got to take our break.
Let's go to Illinois, where nothing ever happens.
There you go. You're listening to Ghost Chronicles International with Steve Parsons and Ron Kolick right here on 2GNet, brought to you by Circles of Witness. 86.
No, Jessica, don't!
Who in Massachusetts in the Glant, Messier Family Law Group, 15 High Street,
not the end of my birth.
And I'm very good friends on Ghost Chronicles Radio. Yeah, thanks a lot for that.
Welcome to TogiNet, radio with a cutting edge.
Do you have a paranormal event, book, or something else you want people to know about? Then why not advertise it on Ghost Chronicles Radio? With over 150,000 downloads a month, get your message out to an audience that's interested in the subject. We have a plan at a cost that fits your needs. For more information, contact Ron Kolick at anyghostproject@comcast.net or call 978-455-6678.
Located in Illinois, there lies a sleepy little town where nothing is a common occurrence.
You going to that party in town tonight?
Heck yeah! I only turned 18 once.
That is until the night of celebration.
Where the hell is she? Oh, no. No, 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 Jessica!
What's happening?
From the creators of Shadowhunters, Bite Me, comes a tale of primal terror. Grindcore mayhem. Shadowhunters, kill Jessica, kill!
man in Illinois were nothing is a common occurrence. Apparently, Jessica's had more 18th birthdays. But anyway, part two of the first half of the second half of the third quarter of tonight's game. And following this is the Book of Shadows. But this is the international
Book of Shadows. I like that. Anyways, I did want to mention that, you know, this show here, people ask, you know, do we have guests? And I tell you, when we have a guest on, it's a guest that you don't hear on 1,000 podcasts. There's somebody really unusual or special, like the daughter of J.P. Ryan or whatever his name is. The anthropologist we had on last week. I mean, we have some very good guests. Steve, you brought on a couple as well from the SPR that don't make appearances all over the place. So you can only catch those here on Ghost Chronicles International.
What we bring to the world of guests is quality, not quantity.
There you go. There you go. It's very
the
good.
The rest of the time, you're just going to have to put it with us two bits.
Yeah, I know. That's the sad part. You just have to, it's like a crapshoot. You know, you don't know what you're going to get. But you know,
don't
was
forget
good.
Our Australian guest, the one that went ghost hunting in her panties.
She won't have me on the show, by the way. It's about three times she's contacted me, and
you've ignored her.
Oh no, I replied each time, but never gets back to me. So evidently, she's frightened. So anything you can think of?
Funny, because she messaged me the other day and said that she hadn't heard from you.
I have replied to three of her emails.
Something tells me they're not getting through.
Oh, she replied to them, so I know they're getting through.
You just said she didn't.
Oh, no, I didn't say she didn't. I said she didn't have me on the show. She never set up a show for me.
There isn't a show at the moment. That's why, Clunk Ahead.
Well, see, Clunk Ahead, yeah. Oh, you like it. I got you using Clunk Ahead. Did they use that in the UK? Not, right?
No, that's entirely your creation.
Yeah, I know, but it's kind of like mine. Yeah. So, anyways. But, yeah.
I'll tell you what, else came up on my memories timeline the other day.
Oh, here we go. What's this?
Some pictures from the red light, one of your red light seances.
Oh, God bless us.
And an interesting picture from Vivi, a shot towards the kitchen.
That was a good shot.
I spent an hour.
That was a while.
Yeah. Well, I was looking at it because I'm writing Paravision at the moment. And I pulled up the original from the archive of that picture, and had another look at it using new software.
You got to do a quick introduction because you know people might have missed what we're talking about.
It was basically right at the end of Spirit Quest. We were all tidying up, and I realized that I'd taken some pictures, just general views, scenery shots in and around VZ Memorial Park in Groveland, Massachusetts, where they don't have cicadas. And I think we were all but done, just about to get in the car. And in the entrance hall lounge, what was that room called? The one where the
living room.
In the living room by the big fireplace. Yeah. I was taking a picture of the fireplace, and to the right of the fireplace, the way I viewed it, is a door that leads, it was out wide open, and it leads into a
kitchen
area.
Yeah.
And when I got back to the UK 2 or 3 days later, I looked at the pictures, and on this sort of last batch, which were taken at VZ, I thought that somebody was in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought back to the events of the day, because at this time, there was only you and I left. I was waiting for you. You were down at the Great Hall end of it, and I was on my own at the other end.
Right. I was working, and you were goofing off as usual. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Carry on. But
there was a caretaker that lives on site, wasn't there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But she was not there this weekend, so there you go.
And so I contacted you and said, have a look at this picture, see what you can see on this picture. Mm-hmm. And you saw what I could see on that picture too, mm-hmm. which looks like somebody, unfortunately, because of the angle, the lower half of, if it was a person, is obscured.
Yeah, but if you know that the place is actually, I believe the refrigerator and a little section there you can't see. Yeah.
Well, I had the following year when I went back, I went back to the same spot. Now, a year had elapsed.
Yeah.
And I took the same shot again to see
what'd you get?
Just the wall and the window pane.
Oh, bummer.
Because there's a glass wall, isn't there, on that side of the kitchen?
Yeah, exactly.
So I thought, well, could it? But no, it's not. It's, I know people are going to go, oh, it's a reflection. No, it doesn't line up like that. Whatever it was.
No, the picture of whatever it was is not in the window.
No. Anyway, so we had some new photo software, which was...
I'm excited to hear about this.
And so I had a look at it because I thought it might be an interesting shot to include in Paravision.
Yeah. Carry on.
And the new software still can't make head and tail of it.
Oh, darn.
It just makes it look more like a person.
Hmm. Interesting.
Well, that's what I thought.
It's a, you know, that is a wild moment. You look at it and say, oh.
No,
okay.
I mean,
because we don't have an explanation. We don't have an explanation for it. Neither you nor I.
No, and as I say in Paravision, and I said in many talks, the software doesn't say it's a ghost or it's a person.
Oh,
or
hell
it's
no.
The analyst does, the human does, and it's subjective. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I have this natural inclination now to see a person there because I've kind of programmed myself. And so I've shown it now to a group of people, not at the same time, not in a controlled experiment, but I've said to people, have a look at this picture, see what you think. Oh, who's that standing in the kitchen?
Ah, see, yeah.
I haven't had a single failure yet.
Hmm.
So it just makes it, that's a real baffling picture.
It is. Yeah. Because, see, that's a wow. Now, we'll never explain it. You know that.
No,
I know
well,
that.
I mean, too many years have passed anyway. But it's one of those occasions where I didn't see anything unusual at the time, but then I wasn't looking. You know, I wasn't looking particularly at the phone screen, at the camera screen either. I was just, oh, I'll just grab that view of the fireplace because it's a really decorative view
okay.
of the fireplace.
See, that's the other thing you gotta mention is that the picture was not of that area, but basically the fireplace. But this area is right beside the fireplace.
Yeah, and I was taking a picture of the fireplace, so it was a case of just point the camera at the fireplace, and that's what my focus is on. In my personal focus, so I'm looking at the fireplace to make sure it was properly in frame.
Yeah.
And then afterwards I thought, I'll edit the picture so that I can crop out the bits and just, you know, emphasize the fireplace, and went, what the heck's that? I didn't know Ron. I thought, no, Ron hadn't come up then because I then...
No.
In fact, I exited through the kitchen into the
besides
room.
It's not me because it didn't have a hat on.
Well, that's what, and it I'll tell you one thing, it does appear to be wearing spectacles.
Really?
More than not. I can't say for certain.
Can you send me that again? I'd like to take another look at it. Just
I'll send it over in the next day or two.
All right, thanks,
my impression is I couldn't begin to guess gender,
mm-hmm.
but my impression is either of sunken eyes or spectacles, and that's only an impression.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll give you a good example of how reality can sometimes be photographed differently. I was looking at an image of Harry Price quite a famous image of Harry Price sitting down with his pipe, and you've probably seen it 100 yeah. times. Mm-hmm. And he's surrounded by all his ghost kit. Mm-hmm. And the image description says a mustached middle-aged man sitting on a chair surrounded by equipment in front of a bookshelf, because that's just how it's catalogued. Mm-hmm. And when you look at the picture, it does look a little bit like Price has got a moustache on his upper lip. And we both know that Price didn't have a moustache at any time. So it's just, you know, somebody's looked at the picture, seen the way the fall of light, and said, oh, there's a man with a moustache, you know, mm-hmm. a grey moustache. Now, so you have to be wary about how you perceive things. And my perception is that this person is possibly wearing spectacles.
Great. Right.
You know those kind of American heavy, they've got the upper bar is heavier than
yeah.
and then yeah. yeah, frameless at the bottom. Mm-hmm. Quite common in the 60s and 70s. Anyway, I'll send it over. In fact, I'll tell you what we'll do. We can make a little video about this for the Patreons.
Okay, we'll do that then.
We'll do that. We'll have a little chat about it for the Patreons.
Okay. That's a good idea. Now, I did a Dining with the Dead last night, and it was called, what was it called? Weird, but I don't know what it was. Strange, but. Okay, that's what it was. And it was all over the place. You know, I talked about different things like...
Did you do any card tricks?
No. I talked about the Wonder Horse, and I talked about Harry... not Harry Price. D.D. Hume. D.D. Hume. No, the psychic's horse that was investigated by the Rhine. There were, you know, we talked about Marjorie and the ectoplasmic can that's stuck in the wax, and how they got fingerprints from it and everything.
I've got photographs of that. I've seen the original.
Yeah, I've got photographs too. Here I used it in my display. It's pretty cool.
Those actual artifacts, the Houdini cabinet, the wax impressions of the dentist, blah blah blah, are all stored in the Senate House Library at Goldsmiths University in London.
Oh, really? Oh, that's kind of cool.
And the dress and the chair and blah, blah, blah that yeah. Marjorie was wearing.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I remember you telling me you went to see him, and it was pretty cool.
That's
yeah.
right.
Yeah. But anyways, so that was some of the stuff out. And so Sue Brown was there, who you know, and we were talking about Hamilton and mm-hmm. his photographs that are mm-hmm. at the University of Manitoba, I believe it is. And I was saying, how could, you know, people of science and intelligent people be duped by these photographs, which appear to me and you very, very fake? And Sue brought up an interesting point that I had never thought about, looking at it a different way, in that they experienced these events in reality, but really. They recreated them in these photographs, and I thought that was kind of interesting. I had never looked at it at that way. So, in other words, that she's saying is basically ectoplasm was real and everything else, and Hamilton and others experienced that, but they weren't able to record it, so they duplicated it in these photographs. I mean, what's your thoughts on that? Is that plausible?
Well, not if they want to retain their credibility, because all of the photography that's been done, if from William Crookes with Florence Cook and the ectoplasm photos that you refer to, Hamilton's pictures, if they are just straightforward, well, we couldn't photograph it at the time, so we recreated it and then claimed it's real.
Mm-hmm.
It's damaged their credibility forever.
That's true.
And I don't know many serious researchers that would want to have their credibility damaged. Mm-hmm. And at the time, you've got to remember that all of these images were claimed to be genuine from the get-go.
Yeah.
Even though they look dodgy as anything nowadays.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But then maybe it's just how people perceived the images back then. And so they thought they could, get away with it if they were dodgy. You know, if they were using papier-mâché, if they were using butter muslin.
Gauze.
And gauze. And, because look at what AI can do now. But it's imperfect.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
Because, one of the AI still can't do hands very well. And that's one of the giveaways and one of the things that people look for.
AIs can't do translating phone messages either very easily. No, my son has a copy of the funniest ones you ever believe that AI has totally screwed up, and I have a couple.
Well, I love playing around with some of the AI systems. There's some demonstrators online, so you can try it. And trying to have a conversation with these AI bots. It can really be interesting and amusing, and very amusing, because they're programmed in such a way that there are certain things that they will never say. Like, you go onto ChatGPT and you say, the old Alexa one. That's the boys were doing that the other day. Hey, Alexa, where's the best way to hide a body? And the AI can't answer because its programming is such that it's not allowed to. And or if you will ask Alexa, hey, Alexa, are you better than Siri? Have you ever, and this was genuinely, I've seen this done, where you have an Apple phone and a Google phone, one for Alexa, one Siri. And if you ever set up a conversation where you have Siri talking to Alexa.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never seen that.
I can't remember the way to start it. One of the boys did it the other day, but it didn't last for as long as he hoped. It lasted for about for about 10 sentences. And it was something like, hey, Alexa, say hey, Siri, and then ask for the time. And so Alexa will say, hey, Siri, what's the time? And Siri will then wake up and say, and anyway, it can be done.
Okay.
And then you
and the kids can do it. That shows you. That's an amazing.
Do you know what? If there's the amount of parental controls and safeguards and passwords, and if you want something cracked, you don't need the Chinese, you don't need the Russians. We have here in the UK, it's called the hive mind. Mm-hmm. It's actually the kids at the high school. It's like, what if there's any technological problem, like defeating a password, defeating parental controls, preventing pornography from being viewed and watched, preventing game hacks from being done, you can bet one of that hive mind will crack it within hours.
That's amazing, huh?
It's how does that? Well, we'll have to ask the hive mind. And then half an hour later, they've cracked it. You turn up the settings, and half an hour later, they've cracked it.
You know, it's interesting. I read. Now, I can't even remember where this came from, but you brought up AI, so I thought I read of or saw or heard about some experiment that AI machines were talking to each other in their own language and stuff, and eventually they had to shut the whole unit down because it was actually taking control and thinking of its own and doing its own thing. So I can't remember where it came from.
was it quite recently? Because there was a report.
Yeah, it was recently. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There was a report where they had to shut down an AI system because it was becoming hostile. And
yeah,
recommending,
that's...
and recommending, although it couldn't do anything, it was suggesting that humans should be removed from the equation. And so
I don't know if I saw that part, but I knew it got hostile. And there was AI actually talking to other AIs that in their own language. Yeah.
And they had to switch it all off because it was becoming, apparently, I didn't read the full article, but apparently.
Yeah, like me. Was, yeah, the same thing, yeah.
Well, no, I probably read a bit more of it than you, but.
Oh, you never know.
but essentially, there was an AI system that was working on a problem of I think it was something to do with climate change, and it recommended eradicating human beings.
Oh, there you go.
And so they went, "Whoa, that's not good." Where's Sarah?
Do you remember the report that came out of Japan? There was a laboratory where they were working on a robotic soldier, and its AI wild and killed like 12 people before they were able to knock it out, destroy it.
I haven't read that. I do.
Oh, that's been around for a while. Yeah, that one. Yeah.
I do. Wasn't it Elon Musk had to shut down one of his, they call Primus robots because it injured somebody?
Oh,
one of these automated AI robots that he uses, that he's developing.
Well, but I mean, there have been deaths. There has been deaths from driverless cars.
Oh yeah, that's not quite the same. But this was actually a walking, you know, like a bipedal robot that they have around, mm-hmm. that they were developing. Like they've got at MIT, that bipedal thing. The humanoid-looking robot.
The one that can dance and everything. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, this one, this Primus robot, I think it was, went rogue and started attacking people.
Ah, cool. Maybe we'll think.
the beauty of these AI systems, these portable, this batteries... Eventually, the battery will run out.
Until we make a perfect battery.
Well, they're a long time coming, aren't they?
Oh, I don't know. According to the government's got, they found this alien base Antarctic, or was it under the sea? Or,
the batteries have been running forever.
Yeah, so they'll have that technology.
No, that sort of, Terminator type stuff, just wait for the batteries to run out. It won't be long. I mean, you can only get... I mean, what's an EV car do? About 200 miles?
Yeah, you know what? You know, if it's a lithium, it'll probably start a fire and burn itself.
Yeah, it'll either run out of battery power or burst into flames if it tries to charge itself.
Yeah, there you go. But, I was looking again at that Millennium Falcon that's in the bottom of the, Baltic Sea or wherever it is, the North Sea. And it's pretty intriguing because there's another one that's got all kinds of conspiracy stuff coming out of it.
Did you know that the real Millennium Falcon was built 2 miles from where I live?
Really?
Yep. It was built.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Star Wars was on the...
It was built...
In the UK, right?
Yep. And they built a full-size, movie-size, full-size Millennium Falcon, but the only space that they could find was a World War II seaplane hangar in Pembroke Dock, and that's where they built the Millennium Falcon for the movie.
Oh, that's so cool.
Oh, well, we've got, this month, we've got a new British 50 pence coin coming out with the Millennium Falcon on it.
Seriously?
Seriously.
Why would they do that?
Something to do with
you're running out of royalties or something. Royals or something.
Well, I mean, King Charles lots of conspiracies about the royal family, aren't there?
But yeah, no,
the Royal Mint they're producing a series of Star Wars commemorative coins. And
oh, that's kind of cool.
The Millennium Falcon is on one of them, and Star Destroyer is on another,
and
X,
I remember you brought
speeder.
It's Spirit Quest. You brought the Loch Ness Monster one year.
That's right. There was the Loch Ness Monster. There's James Bond, A Cup of Tea. That's the alphabet series.
We
got
to go.
Oh, have we?
Yeah, oh, we got to go.
The lucky, lucky listeners have survived another show. Stay tuned, though, for the
because we talked a little bit about archiving stuff, which is important, don't you think?
Shadows, very important.
Yeah, and so
that's why we've got stuff to talk about, because it's archived.
Yeah,
and if we hadn't archived it and somebody else hadn't archived their stuff, we wouldn't have anything to talk about.
That's right. And, you know, like I said, in our books of Maureen, if I hadn't archived that stuff that we have, then we might have put out, you know, books that weren't quite accurate. So
particularly if you were writing it, because you couldn't remember your own name.
Oh, shut up.
Thank you, God. It's true, though.
Yeah, I know.
Who's the show brought to us by Ron?
I think it's Jessica in Illinois, probably. No, it is brought to you. You've been listening to Ghost Chronicles International right here on TogiNet, brought to you by Circles of Wisdom, 286 Rivera Street, Bethune, Massachusetts. The Gallant Messier Family Law Group, 15 High Street, North Andover, Massachusetts. And our very, very good friends on Ghost Chronicles Radio 1 Patreon. Become a member and maybe you'll get to see Steve's picture on Patreon, right?
Heck yeah! You're only a Patreon once.
You're sick. You're a sick person, Mr. Cost. All right. Stay tuned for Ghost Chronicles: Next Generation, a book of paranormalist Vince Wilson. Until next time, be safe. God bless, and watch out for the cicadas and the clips.
Good night.
Ghoulies to ghosties, long-leggedy beasties, and things that go bump in the night. Deliver us, good Lord.